The following program is sponsored by Protecting Your Retirement.
Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world, stretches miles above sea level and offers climbers an ultimate challenge. In 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary became the first known person to successfully scale the summit of Mount Everest, accompanied by his Sherpa, Tenzing Norgay, a native Himalayan guide who knows the mountainous terrain. It's a Sherpa's knowledge and experience that makes them invaluable. Some believe a man named George Mallory reached the summit of Everest decades before Hillary. Tragically, he did not make it down the mountain. In fact, the majority of deaths on Mount Everest occur not on the ascent, but on the descent. The distinct difference between these two men and their efforts is that Hillary had a guide, a Sherpa, who had the experience and knowledge of the terrain. At Protecting Your Retirement, Don Wales and his team are the experienced guides who can help you reach your financial summit and successfully complete your retirement journey. See how your retirement assets and retirement dreams can work hand in hand. And now, Protecting Your Retirement with your host, Don Wales.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of Protecting Your Retirement Radio. As you know, if you listen a lot, we're here every Saturday morning, 9 a.m., these stations. Been around here for 8.5 or maybe going on 9 years now, and we are enjoying doing the show, and we hope that you enjoy listening, or at least if you don't get a lot of enjoyment and excitement out of hearing financial news, at least you learn about ways to safely accumulate, grow, and then enjoy the assets that you have or want to have that are designated for your retirement, the second half of your adult life in many cases. I'm your host, Don Wales. Welcome my co-host, Joy Peterson.
Good morning.
You'll hear her frequently during the show. And Joy has been doing this with me for several years, and she has permission, license, whatever, to break in whenever she feels that she can be of value, and she always is.
Did you tell that to my husband?
I think you got the right to interrupt and butt in on him when the day you got married, or at least engaged.
Well, see, that's kind of what I'm thinking, but see, he doesn't take it as well as you do, so.
I don't have anything at stake. Anyhow, to contact us, you may call our office at 913-648-2700 or go to our website, protectingyourretirement.com, and you'll hear that several times. So if you didn't write it down with my quick, rapid New York accent this morning, well, you'll hear it again and have a chance to do that.
So, Don, we talk a lot on the show. Matter of fact, the whole show is about modern-day fixed annuities.
Yes.
And what annuities can do for your retirement planning.
Right.
And we talk a lot of statistics and facts, and we read all kinds of articles on what's going on in the world of annuities. But let's talk about what's going on here in our home in Kansas City. You had some really good information on your clients, our friends and neighbors right here. It's been a pretty profitable year.
Yes. We have a favorite product. There are several types of fixed annuities. We recommend all of them, depending on the situation and what is suitable and in the best interest of our clients. We've been doing that way before anyone made a big deal about if you're acting in the best interest of your clients without any conflicts of interest and all that. But that seems to be a favorite topic on the agenda of the risk-based investment for financial professionals. Anyhow, we've always been adhering to that. But one of our favorite types of fixed annuity is a fixed indexed annuity. There's no market risk. When the market indexes that you choose to follow, and that's a choice you may change every year, does well, you make more in your annuity contract than you would if you just had it in a plain old vanilla annuity paying you a flat rate of interest. We have those also. Mm-hmm. And actually, the flat rate of interest they pay is roughly 4 times to 8 times more than a CD will pay, and these are insured by the insurance companies that issue them. So much for the plain vanilla, the multi-year guarantee annuity. Anyhow, our statistician, our team member who really likes to crunch numbers, had some free time on his hand in between appointments. And we do annual reviews with our clients. We get an annual report. They get a copy of it. And we look at how much they earned on their fixed indexed annuity for the year. Michael put together a compilation of every annual report on fixed indexed annuities for the first 10 days of May. That's this month. Mm-hmm. May 1 to 10, we had 18 annual reports on fixed indexed annuities among our clientele. All of them live within greater Kansas City area and some of the outlying counties, Kansas, Missouri, and Iowa. Now, that's about two a day, roughly, annual reports that we had. He analyzed every one of them and looked at how much, what percentage their increase was from tracking the market indexes. Most of them were tracking the S&P 500. A few were tracking Dow or other proprietary indexes. The overall result for these 18 clients, and that included all of them that had an annual review, we didn't, you know, cherry pick, was a positive gain of 7.26%. The total money involved before the gain was $1,748,000. The very smallest account was just under $7,000. The largest was almost $322,000. This is a very broad picture of our clientele who had anniversaries between May 1 and 10. Now, the hardest part of investing today is how to make money without being at market risk. Your advisors, other than us, can talk about managing money for a fee, how their formula is different, but overall, the basic risk investments of mutual funds, stock, ETFs haven't changed. You can still make money and you can still lose money, but the no risk and the safe investment options have changed. Remember when mom and dad, grandpa and grandma retired and the bank gave them a 10% CD? I had an aunt and uncle in that range in the 70s, bragged about it.
Of course.
Well, retirement is easy when that guarantee is 10% interest on your money and you've been a saver. But, and you can get that without any, you could get it without any risk. Today is different. Fixed rates are typically under 3%, and that barely keeps up with inflation. We looked at our anniversaries again for the month of May, the 1st to 10th of May. Our clients have averaged 7.26% from May 16 to May 17. I know the argument. You're going to say, well, the market did better. It did about 11%. You guys only got 7.26. So why should I care? Because these same people in 2008 would have lost 0% had they already been in the fixed index annuity. By the way, some of them were in them since 2004. Okay? So the same people, had they been in fixed annuities back in 08, they would have lost zero, not the 50% that the market lost. So when the market goes down and you're in a fixed annuity, you have nothing to lose. When the market goes up and you're in a fixed indexed annuity, you get a part of the upside. And the 10-day period, the beginning of this May, the upside on the average was 7.36%. Now, what were your other safe options during the period covered by this report? These are annual reviews of people who opened up a fixed index annuity in May of 2016. Now it's May of 2017. Checking and savings accounts were paying about 0.1. Certificates of deposit were paying between 1 and 2%. Fixed rate annuities were paying between 2 and 3.1%. We could have got you that without any upside potential beyond it. Money markets, 0.1. So the safe choices have changed. The ones that we were happy with in the 70s and the early 80s, you know, shot craps, the fixed index annuity with no downside risk and an upside potential, 7.26. And I think we're going to be doing this report probably twice a month and see how it does for the future. One thing I know, had we run it in February, the numbers would have been even stronger.
Well, if you have any questions or you'd like to set up an appointment with Don and his team, the number to call is 913-648-2700. The website, protectingyourretirement.com. Coming up on Protecting Your Retirement, we will talk about retirees. They're hoarding cash.
And why?
Why? That's the question coming up on Protecting Your Retirement.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I.
This is Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wales, and we're here every Saturday to help you navigate a successful retirement journey, and we appreciate you spending part of your Saturday with us. We focus on protecting your retirement,
yes,
saving the money, but we also talk a little bit about what to do after you retire, because you spend so much time putting all your energy into, I've got to save my money, I've got to save my money. How does it change when you actually retire?
There are two things that change, Joy. And one is during the working years when you're saving the money and getting ready for retirement, we call that the accumulation phase of retirement planning. You're accumulating the money, investing it, hopefully a lot of it in safe choices, fixed annuities, or even bank deposits because they are safe. And then when retirement arrives and there's no longer a paycheck or a direct deposit into your account from an employer, or you're no longer taking money out of a business that maybe you used to own, then obviously there's no paycheck. And what we help people do with the use of the safety of the modern-day fixed annuity is set up paychecks during retirement. But that also means changing. It's a very radical change from accumulating money to deaccumulating money or distributing money. Actually, you start, you know, hitting the nest egg. And a lot of people have trouble with that. And I think that there was a phrase by one of our peers in another state, another person that is in the financial services industry in the field of fixed annuities. And his quote is, consistent or conservative savers become comfortable spenders. In other words, if you're consistent, conservative at saving and watching out for the money, you can, if you can get over that hump, become a comfortable spender.
And that's kind of opposite of what we're seeing as far as retirees, because retirees are hoarding cash and mostly out of fear.
Yes. And we've known that a lot of retirees have trouble going ahead and spending the money. They've talked all the time about the big trip they're going to take when they retire, what they're going to do for the kids and the grandkids when they retire, how much volunteering they're going to do when they retire. And then they retire, and you know, some of them end up keep working at something else part-time. That eats out the volunteer time, or the time with the kids and the grandkids. And some of them just keep putting off those trips and spending money. Now, please, we're not here today to encourage you to go crazy spending money.
Don't buy the yacht necessarily.
Don't buy the yacht.
Yeah.
No. But anyway, there is a time when you're supposed to spend. That time is commonly known as retirement. Generally, people who do spend more in the early years of retirement on the things that they choose to spend on. The health care problems that occur usually later in retirement, the need for long-term care. But millions of Americans are not spending, which has put the U.S. in a kind of funny situation. younger generations are not saving enough as their income slips further behind previous generations. Believe it or not, younger Americans are not making as much money as their parents did at the same age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Older Americans, meanwhile, are sitting atop unprecedented piles of assets built through stock market and real estate booms. So the affluent ones are not spending it.
Yeah, according to a new study, most retirees are saving even after they retire, and the average American over the age of 60 cut their spending 2.5%.
So they cut their spending about 2.5% a year, and that's about 20% over a 10-year period. And some people retired are still putting some of their retirement income into savings for the rainy day.
They say millions of Americans are living too frugally. Now, that's something you don't think you're going to hear, you know, because like, wasn't there even the frugal gourmet or something like
that?
Yeah. You hear frugal all
the
time.
There are some blogs and websites. I saw one yesterday, a guy that was 35 years old and managed to accumulate $1 million, you know, by being super frugal within a 5-year period or something like that. But, you know, I'm not thinking about using the same piece of toilet paper twice. But anyhow.
No, please don't.
Anyway, unless it's Never mind.
Let's move on.
Someone's picture is on it. Anyhow, Americans now are dying with more money than they used to, and that adds to an inequality that flows from inherited wealth, and that's not a problem I foresee or recognize. But anyhow, one of the authors of the study we're reading said that, quote, we have to get people comfortable with enjoying their retirement and spending their money, end of quote. Maybe this guy owns a resort. I don't know.
Well, but, within reason.
But all of a sudden, retirees are not getting a regular paycheck. That makes them scared to spend.
Sure.
Well, we can get them the regular paycheck. It's not a paycheck because they didn't have to work for it. But by directing a suitable amount of their assets into fixed annuities that pay a paycheck either for a period of time that you specify or a regular check for lifetime or even two lifetimes, you can have that check. Mm-hmm. You can have a direct deposit or you can have it paper. We do it, you know, hundreds of times a year for people. And other studies have found that affluent older Americans are hoarding money. And last year, a study by the Journal of Financial Planning found that the wealthiest fifth of U.S. retirees was spending 53% less than they could have. Meanwhile, the poorest 40% generally spend more than they safely should. And I don't think that's a real big surprise.
No, it costs a lot of money to be poor, unfortunately.
The median retiree spent about 8% less than what is considered a safe amount.
Yeah.
They looked at logical reasons, and I think it's mainly fear that they would run out of money, run out of cash too early.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those irrational reasons may be a simple habit. Something strange happens when people retire. All of a sudden, they're not getting a regular paycheck. That makes them scared to spend. And as I mentioned, sometimes they abandon a goal that they had before retirement. Now, one thing we try to do is reassure people they're not going to run out of cash using tools such as annuities, fixed annuities, and bond ladders can turn a retirement account into a regular stream of income, mimicking a paycheck. Insurance products can also be used to guard against huge late-in-life expenses, namely long-term care.
Right.
And that is a very dominant fear. So look at an annuity as a longevity insurance. An annuity kicks in and replaces the income that you had when you were working, and it doesn't go away.
If you are interested in having a monthly paycheck, even into your retirement, the number to call for Don and his team is 913-648-2700, the website protectingyourretirement.com. Coming up on Protecting Your Retirement, we'll talk about if buying an annuity is right For an 89-year-old?
Yes.
All right.
Not usually, but sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. That'll be coming up on Protecting Your Retirement.
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do than sit around the house.
Welcome back to Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wales. And we talk a lot on this program about fixed index annuities and a lot of times when they're suitable for people. I know you've got lots of suitability standards.
Yes.
When it comes to somebody who comes to talk to you and set up that appointment.
Right.
You can't just willy-nilly go around writing these big contracts.
Here's a brochure, sign here and, you know, next.
And then five pages of fine print that you can't read or something weird like that. But I know you do have standards. So is there any time when an annuity isn't suitable?
Oh, yeah. We find that pretty often. Actually, within the last few days, we had somebody who asked us if they could set up annuity contracts. And they were looking at multi-year guarantee annuities, the ones that pay you a guaranteed rate for a guaranteed number of years, setting them up in their children's names. And for a period of time where the annuity would mature and all the money be available to take back out, plus the interest, about the time the kids were going to college. And they were going to put these into children's names. And said, no, absolutely not, because any annuity contract, they all have tax deferral. You don't pay tax on the interest until you take it out.
Mm-hmm.
But in a trade-off for that, if you take money out of an annuity before you're age 59 and a half, unless it's under very spread out scenarios, structured payout, you pay a 10% income tax penalty on the amount you take out. So,
and
you
know, granddaughter,
here's your college money. I put in an annuity 18 years ago for you, and I'm glad with the college that you picked. And by the way, you're going to get paid tax and a penalty, you know, when you take it out. So,
and I don't think she probably wants to start college at 59 and a half.
No, though I've thought about
it. Yeah, you can go back to school.
I've thought about it. But anyhow, we have an article, and it's written by Lawrence Kotlikoff. And Lawrence is a, I'm going to get his title right. He's a Boston University economist. He's a co-author of a book. The title of the book is Get What's Yours. Lawrence, I don't know how old he is, but I presume he's a boomer at least. And Lawrence writes his own story or his mother's story. And the title of his article is Buying Mom an Annuity Was the Right Choice Even at Age 89.
Hmm.
Now, most of our annuities, the maximum age we can issue them, depending on the contract and the company and type of contract, is usually age 80, but some do go up to age 90.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, Lawrence writes, my mom is 97 years and 8 months old. As with infants, every month is a big deal at her age.
Well, at 97, yeah.
Right. Apart from the pads of her feet hurt when she walks, so she's still on her feet. Due to loss of fatty tissue, she's in good shape, including mentally. He guesses that she'll make it beyond 100, okay? 8 years ago, so she was 89, when she was 89, he had a hard time convincing his siblings that she would live that long. Now she's 97. So they were sure she wouldn't make it past about 93. Now, Mom is costing a lot of money to maintain. And I don't know if she's living in a facility or assisted living or what the deal is. But anyway, Lawrence had the idea of buying an annuity for Mom based on her age that would pay her an income for the rest of her life. Now, he had some discussions with his siblings. Now, his brother is a provost of an Ivy League university. His sister has been a CEO of some major U.S. companies, so they're not people that are not educated. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much they know about annuities. Actually, they know a lot about them right now because their mother has one. And so in a very simple form, they purchased an annuity for Mom. Now, the three children were supporting the mother already. They had put aside assets of their own that they designated for mom's use until she passed, and then if there was anything left, they would have it. Lawrence's idea was have an annuity because she could last a very long time. Their assets could run out. So in the argument that he posed to the siblings, he said, as I explained to my brother and sister, buying her an annuity would help protect us financially for the extra bills that would arrive if she continued to live. And if she continued to live, which she did, she would have been over age to buy any annuity. They would not have had a choice at that time other than to dig in more to their own assets or have this lady go on Medicaid. So he calculated that if we didn't buy the annuity, her assets would only last 5 years. She's also already 8 years into the annuity payments. With the annuity, and they bought an inflation-indexed annuity sold by an insurance company, the money would continue to, no matter how long she lived. Okay.
Well, one of the concerns from the brother and sister was that if they bought the annuity and she passed away, then the annuity company got all the money and they'd have nothing with it.
And under the type of annuity they purchased, that would be true.
Mm-hmm.
It was a single life only annuity. Her life stops, the payment stops, they're out the money. Okay? And he said to them, yes, and if you pay premiums for homeowners insurance and suffer no loss, you also lose it all. In all cases of insurance, we give up money in good times to get money in bad times. And the bad times are, my golly, we're still alive and we need money. But anyhow, they were already supporting mom. So they were implicitly suggesting that the three of us provide mom with insurance. We'd cover her cost if she lived beyond 5 years. In other words, the kids were, the other two, were becoming mom's insurance company. They're saying, we guarantee our mom will have enough money no matter how long she lives, no matter how expensive it gets. Well, they're taking on the risk, and it is a risky proposition. Lawrence says, in mom's case, my siblings and I would have made a big financial mistake if we had not purchased that annuity, which he insisted they do. They did it. When he called the insurance company, the representatives there also thought that he was nuts.
Right.
Okay? They had never sold an annuity, let alone a fully inflation-indexed annuity, to anyone over 85. They had to do a special pricing calculation. It took them a couple of weeks. They called back, and the price was right. Mom is costing about $125,000 per year. What with the AIDS and the out-of-pocket health care expenses. But that annuity is covering about two-fifths of the expense, about 40%.
Mm-hmm.
He says, of course, the best part is being able to tell my siblings, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he recommends buying Simply, finding a fully inflation-adjusted policy, going with that. Now, annuities are not for everyone. If you have a terminal disease, it's not going to work out as well. Now, I'm going to add to this, and we're going a little bit long on the segment. We have offered multi-year guaranteed annuities to older clients. Every one of our annuity companies, we work with about 20 of them, they have age limits on how old we can sell an annuity. If an age limit is 85 and someone wants to put money into an annuity that looks like a CD, multi-year guarantee for a number of years, we may suggest a long-term multi-year guarantee annuity, maybe a 10-year even. The reason we do this, if we have them, they're 84 years old, 85 is their last chance to have a safe annuity. We want to lock that down for as long as possible because when the term is up, if we only did a 3-year, they have nowhere to go except back to a bank with crappy interest rates, which we've helped them escape. So we do recommend longer term for older people. If they pass away, the full amount, including the interest earned, is a death benefit for their heirs, just like it would be if the money were left in a bank. Only with the annuity, there's no probate, okay? And there's no tax reporting until the money gets paid out, either to them or to their heirs. So we do Sometimes we'll see someone maybe 83, 84 years of age. We may recommend a 7 or 10 year annuity, considering they may very well outlive it, but the money is not going to be lost. And in that type of annuity, the insurance company doesn't keep what they haven't used. So it sounds, and I've been criticized about selling an older person a 10-year annuity. There's a reason we sometimes do it.
If you have any questions for Don, or if you would like to sit down and have a face-to-face appointment with him and his team, the number to call is 913-648-2700. The website, protectingyourretirement.com. Coming up on the program, I'm going to give Don a great big kiss, K-I-S-S. Tell you more about it on Protecting Your Retirement.
All the leaves are brown.
This is Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wales. And Don, my dad gave me a piece of advice pretty much my entire life.
Uh-huh.
He always said, keep it simple. And he used another S word, and I know you don't like it. So we're going to change it to keep it simple, saver.
Right, because we work with savers.
Yes.
We try to help people save. And what they save, we help them protect it and grow it and then enjoy it. Although in one of the earliest segments of today's show, we were seeing what may be, I don't know if it's a problem, but a situation where people are not enjoying as much of their retirement assets they have saved as they could be. And there's nothing wrong with, I guess, making sure you have enough all of your life. There's nothing wrong with leaving some to your heirs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is something a little bit, no, I don't know if it's wrong or just not taking advantage of what you could and enjoying what you want to do in retirement.
You've worked hard for it all your life, so
yeah,
you
have,
might as well enjoy it.
Then enjoy it. I had a couple in recently. We were doing an annual review, and they are retired, fairly early retired, and not hugely wealthy, but they've done a good job. They were savers, you know that. And they both worked at places where they had pensions and Social Security. But they take a big trip, and I'm talking about a big trip, bigger than I've ever done, including Alaska, every single year.
Wow.
And they do budget X amount of money for that trip. And they were talking about doing a lengthy river cruise, I think on one or two rivers.
Nice.
You know, in Europe. And they had done this Panama. They really like cruising, which I'm a boating fan. I boat a lot, but I don't know if I could go out on the open ocean, you know, on cruises. But anyway, they like cruising, and they've been on a lot of them. And I think they're even going to take one maybe out of Hawaii in a couple of years all the way down to the South Pacific. So
sounds lovely.
Anyway, they're living that good life, but, you know, they've earned it. Keep it simple, saver. And there are those who say you should never consider annuities at all.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, these are generally people who want you to invest or keep your money with them. That are brokers, that are mutual fund salespeople, that are fee-based investment advisors. Obviously, there is no one type of financial product that is good for all people all the time. In order to sort through the confusion and misconceptions, we think it'd be helpful to clear up some of the misperceptions. Now, first of all, when financial advisors tell you to stay away from annuities, they generalize, they assume. What did your dad say about assume?
Yeah,
okay?
It makes a, yeah, we'll just.
Now, we got to be careful because he was a pastor.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, when financial advisors tell you to stay away from annuities, they generally assume all types of annuities are the same. And that would be like saying all stocks are the same. For example, equating penny stocks with blue chip stocks, or saying all mutual funds are the same, they take the worst example, primarily variable annuities, which we don't like, and apply their negative features, high fees, hidden fees, high risk to all annuities. That's only true of the variable annuities. And this is very deceptive. The truth is that insurance companies, life insurance companies in particular, are set up to handle only two types of risk. One is that you die too soon or that you live too long.
That shouldn't be a risk.
No. Of course, we all know dying too soon is protected with life insurance. Mm-hmm. And annuities are the only financial product in existence anywhere that can protect against living too long and outliving your money. That really is the primary purpose. And we could stop there and say, you know, we've had to kiss. Keep it simple, saver. Now, we're going to go a little further. Everybody understands Social Security and pensions are meant to provide lifetime income in retirement, and that is also the primary purpose of annuities. Of course, there are other benefits that come with annuities. For example, fixed annuities can be used for short-term growth, like a CD, but generally with better rates and more liquidity and tax advantages. And indexed annuities will protect your money from downside risk while participating in the market upside, and they will lock in those gains so you never lose them, you never step back. Contrary to what many financial advisors state, these products have produced significant gains for many of our clients over the past several years of this bull market.
And we were talking about that in the first segment of the program,
right. That
from the time of May of 2016 to May of 2017, that was a gain of
7.26%. And that was among my clients, our clients, mm-hmm. at Protecting Your Retirement, people that are probably working with or used to work with you, live next door, go on a golf course with you, or maybe seeing the glaciers with you. So, and we did not pull the most exciting part of bull market when we did that little survey. It was May 1st to 10th of 2017, anniversary dates on annual annuities. But again, the primary purpose of annuities is to create lifetime income that you never have to worry about it continuing. When you retire, you need more than your Social Security check to meet your basic living expenses. Only an annuity can guarantee that for you. Now, you can do that for a lot less money than you would need if you rely on the outdated and now stupid 4% rule to manage your money that is all at risk in the market. That 4% rule says that you draw down 4% of your money every year and use it for your expenses during retirement. If you did that and your money didn't grow, you're good for 25 years maximum. Mm-hmm. If your money shrinks other than the 4% you're taking out, your 25 years becomes shorter. And if it shrinks 50%, which happened in 2001 and 2008, your 25 years looks more like 12.5.
Right.
And so why bet on your retirement money lasting as long as you do when you can guarantee it will last? Why spend 10, 20, 30 years of retirement watching the market, wondering and worrying whether something may happen that will deplete your nest egg? You don't have to do that. And people will tell you there's a proper mix of stocks and bonds and the proper mutual fund or ETF. All of those have market risk. The fixed annuity does not. And the fixed index annuity actually gives you the upside potential of the market without the risk. So come see us at Protecting Your Retirement. Joy will tell you how to do that.
I will. The number to call is 913-648-2700, the website protectingyourretirement.com. We thank you for joining us today. Coming up next week, it'll be just the facts, ma'am. We're going to talk Dragnet with Joe Friday and who doesn't protect you on Protecting Your Retirement.
The preceding program was sponsored by Protecting Your Retirement.